Welcome to the What's Your Weird Story podcast.
Everyone has at least one good story.
And some of us have stories that are just to the left of normal.
We're interested in the ones that push the boundaries of what we can perceive.
Stories that defy explanations.
Stories with an air of mystery.
Stories we might not share.
For fear of being thought of differently.
But don't worry. We're all friends here. So, what's your weird story? Hi, and welcome to the What's Your Weird Story podcast. With you, as always, is my co-host, Barry Johnston.
Hey.
And myself, Adam Beebe. How you doing, Barry?
Real good. Real good. Excited. Excellent. To get into these stories, man.
Yeah, dude. This is a good one. This is our fourth episode, for those keeping track.
Number four.
Yeah. And we got a couple of really good touching stories here. Before we get into that, though, Barry, people have been asking, how do you get your guest and how do you record your interviews?
Mm-hmm. How do we do that?
Well, let me tell you, in case you didn't know, which you do because you're my co-host and you've been involved with this from the beginning. All right, so Barry and I live in two different states. And through the miracle of the modern electric appliance of the computer and the applications such as Skype, we connect, we talk, and we interview. We watch each other. So what we do is we use Skype to make interviews, and we have our guest on, and we Skype in with them. So potential guest, if you don't have a Skype and you want to get on, you will need a Skype. You can use your phone, but you can also use your computer.
It's free.
It is free, yeah. And we prefer that you have one with a camera because we like seeing your face.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's much better when you can connect with people that way.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's very personal, and you can see the expressions and the reactions, and it's just really cool that way, and you know, that helps us. And you can watch us freak out and all that stuff. So we have our Skype interviews and with our guests, and how we get our guest is in the future. It will be through you, all our listeners, contacting us through our various social media outlets and our email and stuff like that. And we're going to get a phone number set up that we can have people call in. That will be in the near future. But what you do is you contact us. You're like, hey, I've got a weird story. And you will write a 2 or 3 line really brief synopsis in the email or the message or whatever to let us know roughly what this is about, so we can kind of line you up with some other guests, and then we'll set up a time to do our interview, and we'll conduct our interview, and then Barry will do his audio engineer magic on it. Then we'll have it and we'll get it out on the air. And for this first batch of episodes, we've reached out to our friends and family members and such, because it's easier, you know, to get to these people. We can blackmail them because we know stuff. But, you know, also through social media, we've reached out and, you know, just like, you know, Facebook, you know, hey, anybody got a weird story? So most of these are people one of us or both of us have known prior to this.
Yeah. And the thing is I think the thing that people most worry about is it being very uptight and unorganic, and that's not what we do here. It's a very loose atmosphere. Don't be worried about, you know, trying to get on. It's not like, you know, we're running some high production big wig thing here. It's just it's a laid back thing. It's just friends talking, and
yeah,
we try to take all the pretenses out of it.
Yeah, it's a very casual, very fun thing. We like to laugh. We like to ask questions. We like to get to, you know, really enjoy each other's company while we're doing the interviews as well. So that's how it goes. So if you're interested, you know, hey, hit us up. You know, we've got all those ways that we mentioned and we'll mention again to get a hold of us. We'll get to today's interviews. And first, we've got Jordan, who I know from when I owned a comic book shop. And her dad came in and asked me if I knew anybody who could help give his daughter some art lessons. you know, because she was interested in comics and art and wanted to learn to draw and stuff. And so I said, yeah, actually, I could do that because I am an artist. And that's one of my big passions in life. And so I met her when she was 15 years old one summer, and weekly art lessons together. And, you know, and that was a lot of fun. And so she came on, she contacted me, reached out whenever we put out the call. And she's got a story for us. She's got a couple of stories for us.
Really cool. Really good stories, man. Excited for people to hear it.
Yeah. And then as we've talked about before, how when you tell stories like these, you often will remember stories of your own, or somebody, you know, someone else will remember a story. And that's what happened when we were doing this interview. And Barry remembered a story that he's going to share.
Yeah. It kind of just light bulb went off. And, you know, I thought that at a certain point, maybe if things worked out in a way where we could share a story, that it might be cool. But I didn't ever want to make it about, you know, me personally, or, you know, have a bunch of episodes where just you and I are talking about a bunch of stories. But, you know, I mean, Sometimes a light bulb goes off and you go, oh, yeah, man, I got a great story that just this person just reminded me of. And so I felt compelled, you know, to share it.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, also, Barry, part of it is the fact that, you know, we want you all to know that, you know, we've got these stories too, you know, and I've got my own story that I'll be sharing in the coming weeks. It's that one's going to be fun. So, yeah. So let's get cracking and we'll get to today's weird stories. All right, joining us today is Jordan, and she's got a story about some lucid dreaming and some other kind of precognitive type dreaming. So, Jordan, what's your weird story?
Okay, so I guess I will start with the lucid dreaming. I've always been a very vivid dreamer. I've always just had a lot of dreams that were very intense and vivid, and I had like nightmares a lot as a kid, and but like it wasn't just nightmares, it was, you know, all sorts of stuff, but they were all very vivid. Like I still have ones that I remember, and even when I was really young, I would have these dreams that I would be in a place that I hadn't seen before. Like we moved around a lot when I was a kid, and I would be in like a classroom. And I would remember these details about it and wake up and be like, that was weird, you know, just another dream. But then we would move a couple weeks later and I would go to a new school and see that classroom. And that happened like 3 or 4 times, but I wrote it off because I was like, you know, your memories kind of fuck you when you're a kid anyway. So I was like, you know, I probably just remembered something that like didn't happen, or like some weird deja vu. And maybe that's what it is. But, you know, later stuff kind of convinced me like, maybe that there was something going on. But I started lucid dreaming in my teens. Like I started doing like little practices. Like my big thing was like making a mark on my hand. And I would, in waking, I would look at it and be like, okay, the mark's there and I'm dreaming, or I'm awake. Mm. And then in my dreams, that became habit to look at my hand. And if the mark wasn't there, I would know that I was dreaming. And then
that's, it would really become cool. Okay, so so lucid dreaming, for people that don't know, it's a practice, right? Mm-hmm. It's a cognitive practice to sort of help realize that you're within a dream, and then at a certain point you can start to dictate how the dream goes. Is that kind of what? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because once you know it's a dream, you're like, oh well, the laws of the universe don't really apply to whatever I want, which is super cool. But something that helped too is I would wake up every morning and write down everything, and I would dream every night, like, and I still have very vivid dreams. But I had to stop lucid dreaming because, you know, it was fun for like almost a year, I think, of straight, like, you know, I would lucid dream a ton and I would practice it a lot. But it started to do this thing where I would realize it was a dream, start doing stuff, and then somehow it would kind of spin out of control, and I would know it was a dream, but I'd lose control. And then I would have a nightmare, and then I wouldn't know it was a dream anymore. And then it just turned into this very weird thing where like the lucid dream, like the nightmares that follow the lucid dream started to like fuck me up pretty badly. And I was like, and I would start getting sleep paralysis. I got it like a handful of times, and I was like, well, time to put that away. maybe I just shouldn't do that.
So when you got, when you got sleep paralysis, which is probably another thing we need to describe just in case people don't understand it. Scientifically, it's where you basically your brain wakes up, but your body doesn't and you can't move, right?
Yeah.
Is that what you were feeling?
Yes. I would wake up and be aware, but I could not move at all. And it was the scariest feeling like I think I've ever experienced.
Yeah. A lot of people, when they report this kind of a phenomenon, they also, you know, it's panic inducing for sure. Yeah. Because you can't move.
And you definitely you're kind of in that weird state between waking and dreaming. So right. I would never open my eyes because I had read so much about it that I was like, okay. Oh, I know not to open my eyes because that's some dumb shit that I'm not going to do. So I don't see a demon.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question. Was like, did you see any demons or anything like aliens? A lot of people see aliens or like shadow beings.
I did have a lot of auditory hallucinations, and I had had a history of that because I had had some, like, in my early teens, I was like going through a really bad mental health period, and I would just hear things that weren't there because of my panic disorder. And this kind of, I think, came out in the dreams or like the sleep paralysis. And one time I felt something, and usually it was like I would hear something and I'd be like, oh, there's someone in the room, not going to open my eyes. And I pretty quickly figured out a way to get out of it. Like, I read that if you just repeat, like, I'm awake, but I'm just going to go back to sleep. This is sleep paralysis. You know, like, I know what's going on. It kind of calms you down, and you either snap out of it or you go back to sleep. And that worked like 9 times out of 10. So, I did hear some freaky things. And the one time I felt something was like the worst one. I was, I've always been freaked out by like the whole possessed doll thing. Like, that's just one of those things. Like, oh, I love horror movies.
I think just about everybody. One genre
that I cannot do. Like, Annabelle, like, fuck that. No.
Yeah. I think everybody can pretty much agree. Possessed dolls, toys, absolutely. Stuff like that. You know, that's a whole other thing. So,
yeah, any other genre is fine, but not that. Dear God, not that. But I heard these little tiny footsteps. And it's funny looking back, but this shit had me shook. I was so scared. It was like, I heard these little footsteps and then it disappeared. And then I felt a little weight on the bed and I felt a tiny hand. And I remember it went right across my
throat. Oh, no.
And I screamed like I was ready to go. I was like, you know, it's time, never sleeping again. Like, putting the lucid dreams up. That's enough, you know? So,
wow.
That was something. So I stopped lucid dreaming.
I don't blame you on that.
Yeah. I was like, that's quite enough. But so that kind of went away. I still had dreams like throughout my teens. And I'm 20 now, just for context, but like throughout my teens I would dream very vividly, and I would just every once in a while have one of those dreams where it's like something would happen in the dream, happen later on, didn't think much of it because I was like, there is some sort of scientific explanation, like maybe I'm remembering wrong, and it's like, you know, some weird deja vu thing. Because I'd read some stuff about that, and I was like, you know, it's fine. But the really big weird thing that happened that was why I contacted Adam when he was like, we need spooky stories. And I was like, gotcha. I was 17 years old, and I had this dream one night, and I dreamed that my dad died very suddenly. And it was the worst dream I've ever had, like even worse than the doll dream, you know, like it was really terrible. And I felt the grief, like in the dream, like I really, really felt like the grief. And I had lost family members before. Mm-hmm. So I knew what that felt like. And in the dream, there are just some weird details, like my biological mom, like my stepmom had adopted me at this point. And my biological mom was like complicating things, like making things really weird after his death. And because she, you know, that's just her. And I woke up from that dream and I was so shaken up by it. I remember I actually saw this in a text conversation the other day because I was looking back through the text that I had saved with my dad. I remember I texted him at like 5 a.m. when I woke up and I was like, hey, are you okay? And he was like, yeah, why? And I was like, nothing, had a nightmare. And it shook me up so badly. I think it was Sunday night that I had that dream. I scheduled an appointment with my therapist that week. And I talked to her about it, and she was like, you know, and we talked about it, and it was like one of those things where I was like, oh man, that was really crazy. Like, that was really weird. And it was just, it really, and I talked to my mom, like my stepmom, about it. And we were just like, and I told my dad about it, and we were just like, you know, that's weird. And so over the next couple of days, I just like, it freaked me out. And I was like, you know, just telling him that I love him a little more, and, you know, just kind of those things that followed. And that Wednesday, he died very unexpectedly.
Whoa.
And we never saw it coming. We had a Disney trip scheduled for the next week. So it was very like, you know, it came out of absolutely nowhere. And in the following days, my biological mom started like, you know, stirring up shit, and she made a scene at the wake, and it was a whole thing. And it was, and I was so scared because I didn't know, well, A, you know, just lost my dad, who's my best friend. Like, I didn't know what the fuck was happening. But also, I remember when it happened, we were in our front yard and the ambulance was there and everything. And I was crying, and I was talking to my mom, like, it's my dream. Like, my dream is happening. And we didn't know that he was dead at that point. The ambulance was taking him to the hospital. And she was like, no, it's not. It's okay. And he died, like, en route. And it was so crazy, you know?
Yeah.
And since then, I keep having the very vivid dream. Shortly after that, like a couple weeks after that, because the Super Bowl was not long after that. And I remember I had a dream that I was watching it with my dad, and he was like, so-and-so is going to win. And the couple days later, Super Bowl came on, and like that team won. And I was like, well, shit, like I would have placed a bet or something. Yeah, if I
definitely, had- definitely. If you have any sports dreams and the team wins, you know, you definitely go ahead and put a little money down on that, you know.
Yeah.
Call us first, please. Yeah, yeah. And that's so, did it happen the way that you had depicted it in your dream? I mean, was it, I mean, I, maybe those details weren't so substantiated, but you said that there was enough of it that led you to really recall the dream. So mm-hmm. It had to be very similar.
He died instantly. I remember it was like some random thing. I think in the dream it was like, it was something like a brain aneurysm or something. Mm-hmm. Like, but I just, it was something that like killed him instantly. And I think that I was just like, oh man, you know, like what could do that? And then on Wednesday he had a massive heart attack that came out of nowhere. Oh. And he like, and it was instant, you know?
Wow.
So it was just one of those things. And like, I haven't been able to explain it yet, because if I hadn't talked to so many people about it, and if I hadn't talked to my therapist about it, I would say, well, that's such a traumatic event, I remembered wrong. And I, like, you know, made this thing up to kind of cope with it. But because I had talked to so many people, and I still have the text, like, I know that it happened. And it's like, what?
Do you feel that, that having the dream and talking about it kind of in advance, do you think that helped with your grieving process, or do you think it may be complicated because you felt like, you know, oh, if I hadn't have dreamed this, or, you know, how did that affect you?
It was like, I don't think it helped. It was really like, it was a really shitty situation.
Sure.
But it definitely was like, I did feel a little like, I had a short period where I was like, I should have told him to go to the doctor, and like, you know, I should have told him to, like, I think something's wrong, you need to go to the doctor. But, you know, as time goes on, I'm like, that was just a crazy dream. You know, sure. Like, I could have never seen that actually coming. But I definitely, like, now I put more weight into my dreams. Like, if something were to happen like that, I haven't had one like that since where someone's gotten hurt. But there have definitely been times where, like, I've, you know, kind of paid a little more attention because I wouldn't want, you know, something in my dream to happen and something in real life to happen afterwards, which sounds crazy. Like, I don't tell this story a lot because, like, it's one of those things where I'm like, yeah, that sounds crazy. Like, I understand it sounds really insane.
Yeah, but the deal is, too, is that, like, to take the positive out of it, like, at least you were sort of, like, conscious to say, you know what, I'm going to take a moment and I'm going to make sure that my dad knows how I feel about him. I'm going to, you know, take time to let people know in my life, you know, how I feel about them. Like, you know, coulda, shoulda, woulda, you know, as far as, you know, you know, maybe talking to him about his health. But, you know, it's crazy that, because we've had these stories, man, where, you know, not exactly like yours, but people that have seen things that have come to fruition.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if anything, it helps you sort of maybe live in the moment a little bit more and mm-hmm. kind of what you're yeah. talking about.
Definitely. In hindsight, I do appreciate it a lot because we were always very open with like, I love you too. Yeah. We went to lunch every Wednesday. Like we were very close.
Sure.
So yeah. there was no doubt, but definitely in those 3 days, I was a little more like, I remember feeling like the night before it happened, I remember being like, you're getting annoying because I like had said, I love you like 3 times in the past hour. And I was like, you can calm down. Like, it's okay.
Right.
But, you know, I'm really glad that, you know, I kind of had that thought to just, you know, appreciate him and hang out with him a little more.
Yeah. Well, we appreciate you telling that story. Your dad was just a really great guy, you know, from what I knew him. And, you know, he definitely loved you more than anything. And you could really, Barry, you could really see that.
Yeah.
And for reference, I can say to Barry where he reminded me a lot of my dad.
Yeah.
And Barry will understand that that's, you know, because my dad was similar to your dad and he was a big guy.
Yeah.
He was a kind giant, you know, and yes. your dad was very much like that. And I, you know, I thought about you guys, you know, after that summer had gone, and I think I saw you, you know, one or two times and your dad, but you know, one or two times, and you guys were, you know, you definitely had a special connection. And, you know, I just wouldn't let you know that I knew that too. And that I appreciate you sharing this with us, because when you told me, I mean, I was really, you know, I didn't realize your dad had passed away, and yeah. I, you know, and that was just, it was sad, but, you know, I mean, I lost my dad when I was 17 as well,
yeah.
and he was my best friend,
it's
and,
crazy.
You know, but the thing is like, you know, you're formed by your parents so much, and when you have a close relationship like that, you know, you take so much. And you appreciated your dad, and that was really cool. And I always thought that was really cool. So,
yeah,
your relationship. So,
he was really a great guy, and like, it really like sucked to lose him, you know, because he was my very best friend. But I mean, I'm so glad that he raised me, and that like, you know, I got to have him for the 17 years that I did.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Sure.
And in the past, like in the months following his death, I actually did have several dreams where I spoke with him in the dream. And it was just, you know, it was always very calming. Like yeah. waking up yeah. was hard. I would be very shaken up when I would wake mm-hmm. up. Be that second of like, you know. But there were several times where like I would have a conversation with him in a dream and it was very nice. So
good.
Yeah. Good.
That's awesome. My sister had a dream like that once when my grandfather passed. And mm-hmm. She's convinced that there was a real conversation happening, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't discount that at all, man. I'm a firm believer in that stuff. So,
me too.
you know it's real. You know,
yeah.
And whether or not you convince anybody else of that is, you know, beside the point.
Yeah, doesn't yeah. matter.
Yeah. So
like it sounds crazy, but like it's just what it is. Sure. So
absolutely.
Hey, Barry, you know what we need?
What's that?
We need all our friends and listeners to go and rate and review us the highest possible of all those things on all their podcast providers. iTunes, Spotify, Podbean, whatever. You know them all. You listen to them all, or at least one of them. So go, please go. Give us all the stars, all the thumbs up, all the hearts, all the love, great reviews, so we can grow our audience and more people can add and contribute to not only the stories, but to the listening and being part of this huge community that we are going to build. That's what we need.
Well, because of the subject that we were just talking about, one of those weird mm-hmm. things that happens that you can't really explain, whether it be a spirit that you might have seen or whatever. I have a story that happened about 14 years ago, and you know, a really ominous spring night. I was playing in a band at the time, and we had finished playing a show, and I was coming back. It was a Friday or a Saturday night. I think it was a Saturday night, actually. So I'm coming home, and there's storms firing because, you know, in Oklahoma, those thunderstorms are powerful, and tornadoes are dropping left and right, and there's, you know, blankets of rain. And I'm cruising home, a back way home. We had played in a really small town, so I'm already in the middle of nowhere. And it got, you know, the storm got so bad that I tried to tune into the radio station to hear what was going on. And of course, it was static. So my wife had called me. This is about 10:30 at night. My wife calls me and says, "Where are you?" And I told her where I was. She said, "You need to pull over. There's a tornado coming your way." So I pulled over to the side of the road, and I waited about 10 or 15 minutes. And then she called and said that it had passed. It had hit the event center in town, which was about, at that time where we were living, it was about half a mile from our house. So I pull in. I get home. It's about 11 o'clock now, maybe 11:30. Go to bed, midnight. My doorbell rings, and I go to answer the door, and there's this guy standing there who I vaguely recognize. He's my next door neighbor, catty corner from me, that right. I'd lived on this street for a few years. I have never spoken to the guy. He and his girlfriend, you know, they were kind of this, like, kind of stranger, older, when I say older, I'm talking maybe 50. He had played in a bunch of bands. He was kind of this, like, strange outlaw character, right?
Mm-hmm.
I open the door, and he goes, "Hey, man, I just want to let... It's, by the way, it's pouring buckets, okay?" Mm-hmm. He's wearing this sort of, like, Indiana Jones-type hat, right? Right. And this button-down shirt, nice shirt, you know, sort of nice shirt. And he's drenched in water and from the rain. So he stands there and he's going, "Hey man, I just wanted to let you know that you guys can come get down in my cellar. It's just behind my house. You don't need to knock or anything. Just come, you know, bring your kids and just come get down in there. You know, if we get another tornado." I thought, "Hey man, I appreciate that."
That's,
you know,
yeah, that's great. That's,
so I'm like, that's... so he tells me his name's Dave, right? I said, "Nice, you know, nice to meet you, Dave, you know," and we proceed to get into this conversation, okay? And this conversation, we start talking about motorcycles, we start talking about his grandkids, he's showing me pictures of his grandkids, he's telling me how, like, proud he is of his grandkids, right? And I take him into my garage, because at the time I had a little Harley,
right.
And so I wanted to show him my bike. Okay, so I take him into the garage. He tells me that he's the president of the Mongols chapter in Enid, which the Mongols is a 1%er biker club, which are the baddest of the bad. These are the guys that are doing all the bad shit, like the Hells Angels,
yeah.
Okay?
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm going, okay, well, my kids live here, like two houses down from this guy, and he's telling me that he's the president of the freaking Mongols motorcycle club. I don't know how to feel about this.
It's good that you just became his best friend.
I guess so, man. So anyway, he goes, he says, "Hey, man," he goes, "let me do something for you." I said, "Okay." He gets on my bike, okay? He sets it up right, like he's, you know, like stagnantly, like sort of riding. Do you know what I mean? He's got his hands on the bars, and he's like... He closes his eyes like he's in deep meditation for, like, long enough to where you're uncomfortable. You know, it's like a minute, right. Maybe. It felt like longer than that, but it's at least a minute. And then
this is still in the middle of the storm, dude, and the thunder. Dude, it's like
now it's 1:30 in the morning. We've carried on for... My wife came outside about an hour into it and checked on me just to make sure I was still alive. You know what I mean? Because she didn't know this guy either, you know? So he gets off the bike, and he goes... He puts his hand on my shoulder, and he goes, "That's the best I can do for you, man." And I was like, okay, that's a sweet gesture from a biker, right?
Yeah.
Sort of like blessing that he just gave me, right? So anyway, I kind of figure a way out of the conversation. I'm like, dude, I got to go to bed. You know what I mean? So now it's, you know, I'm saying 1:30 in the morning. He leaves, okay? I go to bed. 30 minutes later, doorbell rings, right? I go to the door, and it's Dave again. And he goes, hey, man, I need to rebuild my fence in my backyard. And I said, okay, man. I said, well, I'll go with you, and we can put together a list of everything that we need, and I'll help you build your fence, you know? And he goes, oh, you do that for me, man? I said, well, yeah, sure, no problem. So I'm thinking, all right, you know, he leaves. And I'm thinking, well, the next day, I may or may not hear from him. You know what I mean? Because he seemed like he might have been on something. Do you know what I mean?
The mere fact that he's walking over to your house during this massive, like, Midwest thunderstorm. And that you've already said goodnight.
Yeah.
You know, and he's come back over, and he's done his magic, his meditation, his blessing.
Yeah, there was just something.
And yet he's back.
Right, there was something. So anyway, so he leaves, right? And I'm thinking, okay, well, so I go to sleep, I go to bed, wake up Sunday. Sunday, it rained from Saturday night through Monday morning, okay? So I don't hear from him. And I'm thinking, well, okay, you know, maybe I'll hear from him on Monday. I go to work, okay? And at that time, we had an office that we built off my mom and dad's house. So I show up to work. And my dad goes, hey, your neighbor died over the weekend. And I'm thinking, there's an elderly guy that lives next door to me. And I'm like, oh, man. I'm like, what was his name? And he goes, my dad goes, Dave. And I said, Dave? He came over to my house on Saturday night. Okay? Now, this is a town of 50,000 people, right? How would my dad know that he doesn't know this guy, Dave?
Yeah.
Okay? So, I'm like, now, wait a minute. How do you know this? He said, well, his girlfriend came to see me because my dad's an alcohol and drug counselor. And she came to see, you know, him because she wanted to understand what had happened to him. And I said, now, wait a minute. How did this happen? I was the last person to see him alive, dude. He left my doorstep at about 2:30 in the morning. He went across the street to his house, and he died in his front yard. She found him at 5 o'clock in the morning on Sunday.
What?
He was a lone wolf. He never talked to anybody. And here he's opening up his wallet and showing me pictures of his grandkids.
Dude.
And telling me how proud he is of, like, his family.
Do you think he knew? Oh, I mean,
that's what I, so my wife being the sort of like ghost person, she said, what if the second time he came back, it was,
dude, that's what I was thinking. That's what I was thinking.
And he manifested himself. I'm like, dude. Well, I'll tell you this, dude. He knew something was going to happen, I think, because his girlfriend told my dad that he'd never talked to anybody, and that he was a very difficult person to get to know, and that maybe he did feel, for whatever reason. So here's the thing. I felt like if that were me, that I would want somebody to go talk to my wife and say, hey, man, I was the last person to talk to him, and like he just kept going on about how much he loved his family, and you know. But when I went over to her house, she was gone, and her aunt was there, and I don't know if she ever relayed the message. And she was, you know, like I say, she was kind of a weird chick anyway, and so. But I don't know. I don't know, dude. But that happened to me.
What if the whole thing was like, what if the first time?
Yeah.
He was already gone.
Well, it could have been.
And that he was there and like.
It could have been.
You know.
Why would he? Why me? Why did he come to talk to me? Do you know what I'm saying?
Well, it's not like your lights were on or anything, were they?
No. I was in bed. And I never spoke to him one time, dude. I think we probably lived there for 4 years before before he had ever said one word to me, which was that night. I had seen him out in the yard, you know what I mean, a friendly wave or whatever. But it was just like, it blew my mind. I was just like, I didn't know what to think. I'm like, what is going on here? But yeah,
that's wild.
So when Jessica told me that story, I'm like, I got something that's kind of similar to that, but not really. You know what I mean? It is.
But yeah. That's wild.
Talk about something coming out of the woodwork, man.
Hey guys, don't forget to follow us on all of our social media platforms. We're very 21st century. We're on Instagram at What's Your Weird Story. That's WATSYER Weird Story. We're at Twitter. We're at What's Your Weird. We got a Facebook page. It's the What's Your Weird Story podcast Facebook page. Just remember that our your is your because we're folksy. And we also have a www.whatsyourweirdstory.com. That's www.whatsyourweirdstory.com. That's for all of your social media platforms. And those are ways you can contact us and set up an interview if you want to be a part of the show. So look us up. Jordan, thanks once again for sharing that great story. We really appreciate it. And Barry, that's a really crazy story, man.
I mean, it was true. I mean, it was one of the strangest nights. It haunts me till this day. I mean, I have moments when I think back on that and, you know, did that really happen? And it definitely happened. So, you know, Jordan's story kind of sparked that, which her story was just really, really pretty incredible also, man.
This has been a really heartfelt kind of episode. You know, and that's cool and it's great, and we want episodes that are full of emotion and full of happiness but and also laughter. You know, we want the range because, you know, we know that there's going to be all sorts of this kind of thing and when we hear these weird stories. So, you know, everybody that's out there that's been listening, you know, we really appreciate it. Keep listening. As always, if you have a weird story, we want to hear it.
If you have a lot of them, we want to hear them all.
We can't do this podcast without your invaluable contributions.
Whether it's sharing your stories,
listening,
rating,
and spreading the word about the podcast. Thanks for listening. Till next time, be safe.
Be weird.
The stories presented on the What's Your Weird Story podcast are, to our knowledge, true experiences that our guests have had. We can't take the time to research all claims made, and besides, it's just not as fun.